NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to the first edition of The Winning Drive. I am Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by Lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel. He's a recruiting guru, but also a valued member of the On Texas football staff. And, of course, the coach, Bob Shipley. I can't get all of his accomplishments. Let me get him right. Head coach, a former head coach in high schools, Capel, Brownwood, Belton, Rotan, and Burnett. Also was on the staff at UT on multiple occasions, five different seasons on the staff in a different capacity or one day or another. Also was on the staff at Abilene Christian, where he played fullback at Abilene Christian, but also was on the staff there on two different occasions. It is the coach, Bob Shipley. Our coach. What's going on, coach? How you doing?
Hey, what's happening, man? I'm so excited to be doing this championship drive, baby.
I like that. No doubt. Yeah. Not just the winning drive, baby. The championship drive. The championship. See, coach is all about it. See, he's got the right mindset. CJ, how you doing, bro? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. We're one day away from spring football. I cannot complain at all. It's going to be real exciting down here. And, of course, the recruiting is going to come flying in as well. So, good time to be around here at On Texas Football. I'm pumped for the winning drive as well.
Yeah, man, any excuse to talk more Texas football, especially with spring football right around the corner. Matter of fact, it is here. So we're going to talk a lot of spring football, of course, on the show. You get your questions in, all your super chats in. Hell, they'll interrupt the show and we'll just say we'll answer any questions you may have or respond to any comments you may have. We're going to do a mini draft. We'll talk about that in just a second. We'll do a mini draft on the show. My man CJ is going to start us off with a recruiting update to give you all the news, notes, and nuggets from the recruiting world. And then we got a mini draft. So the mini draft is going to be essentially we're going to take the quarterbacks out of it. So we're going to draft the best players on the Texas roster. All three of us will get five draft picks. We're going to take quarterbacks out of it because it's going to be way too much. I think it'll be way too much weight put on quarterbacks in the draft. You're like, oh man, he's got that quarterback. He's got the best draft. It's like, no. So we'll take QBs out of it. All right. So we can actually look at it with a little bit more depth and nuance. And we're going to have the stipulation that you have to have three on offense, two on defense of your five picks that you're going to have. Whoever your first round pick is, we'll see who that is. And I haven't said who's going to start. So I'll go last. Because I don't know how y'all want to determine who's going to start the draft, who's going to have the first round pick. I'll go last. Just so ain't no issues. We have not determined this, guys. This is on the fly. We have not determined. Probably should have determined it before the show, but we did not determine it. So I will let CJ and Coach kind of duke it out. Who gonna get the first pick and how y'all wanna do it? Y'all wanna go what?
Coach, go ahead and take it. I'll go second. I'll take the middle spot. Coach, you can go ahead and start us off right with the first overall pick.
I think that's pretty fair. There you go. Say there you go. Sportsmanship already. On the winning guys, this is still teamwork. Even though we're competing, it's like a position group. Hey, I want that spot, but we still got to work as a team. I like that. There you go. So CJ gave it up. He's gonna have the second pick. I'll have the third. Coach Shipley will start us off with the first pick in our mini draft coming up of the best players on the Texas roster outside of the quarterback position. We'll do that here in just a second. Get your super chats in. Get your questions in. Can't wait to talk to the people out there. That's what this show is all about. It's out there about connecting with you. We're community. We're family. Out here, all right? La Familia here on Texas football. So reach out to us. Let's talk some Texas football. Oh, shout out to the Texas men and the Texas women. I should have shout out to Texas ladies first. Texas women's basketball team, that number one seed. Shout out to them. Got to do that. And shout out to the men's also with that seven seed. They don't know who they'll be facing, but shout out to them advancing, at least getting into the tournament. That's a big deal. Okay. Let's get to the recruiting update with my man CJ, and then we'll have our mini draft and we'll dive into some of the topics of the day. CJ, start us off with what's going on in the recruiting world.
Yeah, the string of big visit weekends for the Longhorns starts really this weekend. You know, spring football kicks off, and as a result, you get guys on campus that you really want to start recruiting. The first is going to be Brandon Brown, who out of Ugalde, Florida, the talented, really, really talented defensive lineman there, is visiting campus for what is the first of three expected visits this summer. And what's important about this one is this will be his first time on campus with his mother. He's bringing his sister and best friend as well. So a lot of family getting eyes on campus, meeting the staff, shaking hands with Kenny Baker and Steve Sarkisian. It's going to be very important for the Texas Longhorns because there's been some chatter behind the scenes about, you know, just how difficult it will be with Brandon Brown to hold on to. Clearly, you've heard Jerry and I talk about him in the past. I think this is a guy that has borderline five-star potential. When you watch the film, there's bodies flying everywhere, and it's never him. You know, he's always the one that's smashing guys left and right. So really important recruiting, recruitment to hold on to for the Longhorns is Brandon Brown coming in. He'll be coming in with the California Power 7-on-7 team as they have a tournament in the area that weekend as well. He'll be joined with by out-of-state offensive lineman Josh Petty, out-of-state tight end Lincoln Cure as well. Really talented group. Coming in, and another name for the Knight Riders team coming in as well that Texas fans need to keep an eye on is Javar Thomas. That's a linebacker out of the Houston area. Texas offered him very late in the open contact window. That was actually Jeff Banks who stopped by and offered him late. Kosi Okpala, 2026 linebacker as well. We talked about Johnny Nansen, like in the long levered linebackers that we've seen in the recruiting world so far. Kosi Okpala is another one that is really, really intriguing at this point. Also, keep an eye on Cortland Guillory, one of the two defensive backs that's scheduled an OV for Texas June 7th through 9th. He's another guy that is expected to be in the area, and we'll see if he stops by this weekend to see this Texas staff and campus one more time. Because, hey, if you can get these guys on campus, why wouldn't you? You know, it's just one extra opportunity for Texas to host and be in that conversation for a number of these guys. So Brandon Brown is the big one. Again, Tennessee, USC, and Texas are the three official visits for the summer, June month. Texas getting them on campus three times before then is huge.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, thank you, CJ, for the update there. You can follow more of those updates, of course, on TexasFootball.com. And shout out to my man, CJ, doing a great job. And CJ, is it CJ Vogler underscore OTF?
That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah, boom. I knew it. That's he's always been one of my favorite follows on Twitter. You can throw it out there. Hey, Coach, you got a Twitter handle we need to throw out there? You got a social media, Instagram? You on the gram, Coach?
Yeah. I'm on an X, baby. I ain't on no Twitter. I'm on X. I'm not real sure exactly what it is, but it's I'm not Robert Shipley 2 or something. I don't know.
Now we're gonna find it. We're gonna find it and give you a shout out. We're gonna find you. We're gonna increase them numbers for you, Coach. There you go. See, and you're right. It's X, Coach. I'm old school. I'm calling it Twitter.
It's at Robert Shipley 2.
There we go. I'm going to be throwing out the gifts, the memes, and all sorts of good stuff out there, I'm sure. Here we go.
Hey, I got 30,000. Well, I don't know why in the crap 30,000 people are following me. But
Coach,
they are.
You're doing it big.
I don't know.
Coach, you're doing it big over there. Hold up, Coach. You got probably most social media followers than me and CJ. CJ, how many you got?
I'm at 20. He's got me.
I get more recruiting stuff. People think I'm still recruiting, you know. I got all these kids sending me stuff all the time.
I love that Coach didn't even know his Twitter handle and outdoing CJ and I both. Man. Wow. I knew CJ was going to outdo your boy because CJ is so prolific. But, Coach, I did not expect Coach Bob Shipley to have the upper hand on me on the social media followers. There you go. You learn something new every day. Hey, there you go. But Coach also is going to start us off in our mini draft. All right, we go to our mini draft here. Our mini draft, essentially, we're going to take quarterbacks out of it because we know how y'all feel about QBs. Yeah, just way too much weight put on. Oh, man, that guy has this QB or that QB. So that'll really slant the whole perception of the draft. So we're going to do a mini draft, five selections each. Coach is going to have the first pick. CJ will have the second pick. I'll have the third pick. And we're going to snake, though. We're snaking it. So I get the third and the fourth, and then we'll go backwards. All right, that's how we make it fair. We're gonna snake it. So y'all agree with the snake?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So just so y'all know. Yeah. And we're going three on offense, two on defense. So you can't just you know, Boss Hog on one side of the ball. Look at all the different phases. If you want to, if you want to draft special teams, you can do that too. All right, one of your five picks. I'm not going to tell you how to run your organization. Coach, you want to draft a kicker? You want you want to draft a kicker? You can go right here. Bert Auburn is awesome.
Since I don't know for sure who our punter is going to be, I can tell you it's not going to be a punter. Unfortunately, though, we had a freaking punter be the most valuable player in a bowl game. So
hey, long ball Dixon.
A long way since then. Isn't that the truth?
And that is the truth. I'm telling you.
That was a sad state of affairs when you had a punter be the MVP of a bowl game.
It was, but he was an awesome punter, man. He was great. He was damn good. Yeah,
he was. All right, so with the first pick, of the 2024 draft, spring draft, Shipley picks Isaiah Bond, University of Texas.
Boom! Shocked. Yeah. I like that.
I like those receivers. I like the receivers who've shown they can show up big in big games.
Wow.
And Isaiah Bond has been on the biggest stage, made the biggest play of the 2023 season. He's number one. He's off the board.
Man! Boom! Hey, I'm telling you, Coach, I like that. That's you're showing some scones on that one. That was good. That was big. I like it. All right, CJ, how you going to follow that up, man? That's hard to follow.
That is tough to follow because Isaiah Bond was high on my list. But I'm going to stick with the big boys up front. And I feel like, you know, we talk about for sure talent that we know is going to be there in the first round of next year's draft. Kelvin Banks is the pick for me. Yeah. We've talked about it. I was split back and forth going from the speedy Isaiah Bond and Kelvin Banks. But we've talked about it a little bit. Texas expecting to get two, maybe three guys in the first round of this year's draft. You look way ahead to next year's 2025 first round, you're going to see Kelvin Banks' name there, and we're starting the trenches off right with my cornerstone left tackle, the boys.
Good pick.
Rocking.
Good pick.
That is a damn good pick.
Now we got to see where you go here, Rod, because those two that are coming up next, I'm looking at my big board thinking,
you
better not take both of the guys I got circled at the moment.
And I don't know where I'm going here. I ain't going to lie. You guys, those guys were really high on my big board here. All right. With the third overall pick, the Texas spring roster, because I could go a number of ways here. I really could. I could go upside, or I could go with a guy that's a proven commodity. You know what? I'm gonna go with Anthony Hill. I'm gonna take Anthony Hill. Anthony Hill.
Defense.
I'm going defense, baby. I'm going.
Coach, I can't be surprised, and you know who we're talking to here.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Listen, he can move him around the board. He's going to be the guy. Right now, they got him working probably some middle, but you know they're going to have him working on the edge as an edge rusher. Sark said when he came in, he was one of the top two edge rushers that they had on the team. I think he's going to be more of a movable chess piece this year. They're going to show his versatility. You know that guy flies to the football. He's a sideline-to-sideline linebacker. I'm going to go with a young buck who's going to, I think, have a breakout campaign and become one of the core members of that defense. I'll take a young Anthony Hill, my third overall pick. All right, here we go. We take it. But for those who just joined us, we're taking quarterbacks out of it, in case y'all didn't know. So aside from quarterbacks, take best players on the roster, and we snaking it so I get the third and fourth. All right, the fourth overall pick on the Texas spring football roster. This one is, this one's got me. This is, I could go a number of ways here. I'm going to go with, he's a proven commodity. I'm going Jadae Barron. I'm going to go Jadae Barron. I'm going to go a guy that's a proven
two defensive guys off the board.
I don't know, Coach.
You think our secondary was full of first rounders.
I like it. Hey, that's a great point. I'm saying they're going to take a leap this year.
Yeah, you're banking on it. Because Coach and I got the firepower started on offense. So I told you to keep up with it.
Jadae was going to be my second defensive pick. You picked my two defensive guys right off the board.
Defense out of way for me, though. I'm good. I'm moving on to offense, baby.
All right. So I'm up, right?
CJ, then Coach.
Coach, you got two picks right after I did.
What the heck is that? What kind of snake is that?
He said it's winding.
He said a little serpentine to me.
Yes, exactly. There you go. That's exactly what it is, coach. Exactly.
Hey,
what it is.
With my second pick, I've already got my big boy up front. I got to get someone behind him that can move the rock. CJ Baxter in and out of the backfield. Ooh. We're rocking with him. We're getting that running game going, and then we're about to start bombing it deep as a result. But CJ Baxter is joining Team CJ. The Team CJ, I mean, come on. This is here.
Yeah.
This is a match made in heaven here.
That's a no-brainer.
Yep. Damn. That hurts me because I was going offense. I was hoping you was gonna go to defense or something like that. Okay. All right. There you go. Coach, it's on you, Coach. You got two back-to-back now.
You leave me no choice. You leave me no choice but to show my prejudices here. I'm a little bit prejudiced. So off the board is Jontae Cook.
Coach! Oh man, come on, coach! Leave me something.
Duo on Team Shipley.
Hey, we gotta get some edge rushers, Rod, because
we may not block anybody. We may not run the rock, but we're going deep, baby.
We're taking shots downfield. Wow, damn, coach, that's another good one off the board for me. All right. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, coach. You got one. You got one more. You're going back to back.
Starting off round three.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to take my man. I helped recruit him. His parents I consider them friends. They're great people. I got me a guy in the middle of the offensive line that's going to take care of business. A 3-year starter, Jake Majors.
That's good.
Brains of the operation.
That's solid. That's solid.
Big brains.
That's solid.
I like that. All right. Pick number three. We're going to the defensive side of the ball. We got to stop Coach Shipley somehow. And I'm taking the best cover safety the Longhorns got. Derek Williams, sign me up.
Oh, I can't even take him. But I don't know.
Good one.
We have to get our center fielder. That's it. I see the speed, coach, is accumulating. We got to stop that somehow. Derek Williams, join Team CJ.
No, that's good. That's a good pick, man. That's a quality pick there. It's a quality pick. All right. All right. I'm forced to go offense here.
Hey, let me say this. While you guys are ruminating over, I need some help. I need some folks out there. Give me some advice on my next pick.
Oh, I think you're doing pretty good. We know you're trying to score some points.
I need some advice. Throw some stuff. You folks out there listening, throw me some advice on my next pick, because I know I need to go defense because I can't score. I mean, I got to stop them somehow.
Okay. Well, all right. With my third pick, and I got to go offense here, I'm going to go with on the offensive line, I'm going to go with Cam Williams.
Yep, that's a good pick.
I'm gonna go Cam Williams, man. I need
big
some time I need
body
some,
mover right there, Rod.
Yeah, I need big humans up front, man. I need big humans. There you go.
You got the biggest one. You got the biggest one.
All right, and we're snaking this thing. So for my fourth, still got to stay on the offensive side of the ball. Ooh, this is interesting. Bond off the board. Cookie off the board. Offense, no QBs. You know what? I'm gonna go Jaden Blue.
I'm gonna go Jaden Blue, man. Good one.
I'm gonna go Jaden Blue on that one.
You're hoping for them two back sets, aren't you?
I need somebody's gonna run the rock. I'm gonna go Jaden Blue on them. That's it. I started to go with one of those wide receivers, but I think Jaden Blue might have a bigger impact than the third wide receiver for Texas. I think it's possible.
Oof. Well, if you're going to have some talent on the edge there, Rod, on your tackle spot, I got to find someone that can beat that. I'm going with the chat here. I see JH22. A couple other guys have mentioned their name before, but hey, I'm going with Trey Moore, the UTSA transfer, 22 and a half sacks.
That was good.
At UTSA. Looks like he could be a game-changing piece for the Longhorns on the edge. Add him to Team CJ. Listen, I like what we're piecing together right here. One pick left coming up in round five, and I got something up my sleeve a little bit.
Oh, you got something up your sleeve? Coach threw off the whole damn draft with Bond going first. I'm not going to lie. Threw off everything. He really did. He threw off the whole damn draft. That's what he did.
All right. Am I up?
You up, coach?
You got your fourth and fifth, coach.
Fourth and fifth. You back to back.
All right, baby. We're going to get some help on that defense now. I'm going to go with another one. I'm a little bit sentimental. I like these kids. I was involved in their recruitment. I met their mamas. And there ain't much better out there in the world of mamas than Alfred Collins.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take Alfred off the board. Get me some help up front.
That's good, coach.
Don't mess with his mama now, because she will light you up.
She's a hooper back in the day.
That's
for sure.
Baby Longhorn Hooper. Yes, she was. Let's get the big man. Give me some help up front. Get the big man off the board. I got to go back to back.
I like that.
All right, coach. I'm going back to back. Oh, man.
Yeah. I know it. It's getting tough.
Or it gets tight at this point.
Okay. As critical as I've been, I have in the cornerbacks, I've got faith.
Okay.
I'm taking my man Malik Muhammad.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Baby.
Yeah. I've seen that in the chat. I've seen some folks in the chat. They've been excited about that.
Yeah, ooh, for him to go in the fifth round, that's value that you'll ever see. Absolutely. I like that. I got one pick left. I've got my running back, offensive line. My defense is figured out. I really wish I wasn't ahead of you, Rod, because I got to go wide receiver.
I got one guy
in mind who's lit up winter conditioning, early enrollee, 5-star on his name from St. Louis, Ryan Wingo.
Come on down.
600 meter.
Good pick.
Walk with that. Steve Sarkisian's going to have a plan for him. He's lighting it up already in winter conditioning. And that Team CJ team, I'm liking it.
That's a good team.
That's going to be tough to beat.
That's a good pick, man. That is.
All the problem. Yeah. Okay. All right.
That was a good one. I'm not going to lie. That was nice. That was nice value right there late. Oh, man. All right. This is tough. I got to go offense here. Hell, I could stockpile on that another big human. There's another big human that's out there. But I need some skill talent on this. Almost all my good skill talent is off the board here.
Magic Golden's still alive. You can go back, or you can see what you got with the 20 package.
We're drafting the best players overall in the team. Overall. You know what? Yep. Them big humans. They've been stockpiling them big humans for a while, man. I'm going DJ Campbell. I'm going big bodies, baby. That's what I'm going.
Yeah, right guard, baby.
Yeah. So I'm just talking about this. The best talent available that's on the board. I think that's best talent available.
Good pick.
On the board for me.
Good pick.
Yeah. See, hey, I'm running the rock. All right. I got two O linemen and a running back.
That's obvious.
We try to win football in a different way, coach. We're going old school. You're going to hardball football. All right. Hardball brand of football for Rod D.
Not me. I'm going over the top, baby.
I like it. We got all sorts of schemes. You know, the personnel, like y'all said. Y'all got me beat on both offense and defensive sides here when it comes to
our draft picks. Kind of fit our personality, you know.
Hey, y'all, it is coach.
Progressive gambler, Mr. Vegas. I'm going deep.
Hey, you got a receiver gene in your family, so that makes sense. And somebody
I've never called a receiver.
That is true. I love JH22 here says Rod hates receivers. Maybe subconsciously there was something about that. That's a great point. I never thought about that, but you got a great point. I'm just hating on receivers subconsciously. I don't know because, I thought about Silas Bolden. I thought about Matthew Golden in there. I think both of those guys could have been. Somebody said Colin Simmons. I mean, who got snubbed? What was the biggest snub? Ethan Burke is probably the biggest snub to me.
Ethan. I thought about taking Ethan.
Yeah.
Matthew Golden still out there.
Ethan Burke was the biggest snub to me. I loaded Terrence up on Brooks. Defense. Terrence Brooks is a good stat. You're right. That's a big one. That's a snub.
This guy with a lot of snaps, a lot of experience out wide in that field corner spot. I mean, you talk about what coach has got building over on his team. That's someone that you'd probably like to have on the team. I'm looking at it like, hey, at least I got my safety pick, you know?
Yeah. No, but the purpose of the exercise is to show how talented the roster is. I mean, we think we're drafting the best players on the roster. We still might not have gotten to the person that's going to have a breakout campaign this year, a guy like Ethan Burke.
Hey, Jim. Terrence Brooks. Jim is right. We got a fairly stacked team. That's pretty fun. I mean, there's been years, you know, when the punter would have gone off on this track.
Hey, Bert Auburn. How did Bert Auburn get snubbed?
That's
Bert
a good Auburn. One, too.
Hey, that's good another good point. Makuba not getting picked. I mean,
Makuba.
That's right.
You're right. That's a good one.
He was a freshman All-American at Clemson with 3 years of starting experience, and he didn't make this top 15 that we just compiled. Yeah. Again, Coach, to your point, the years in which we're looking at a punter or a kicker or a specialist as a guy that we're thinking, hey, he's got to be a difference maker for this Longhorn team, way in the past. And that's exciting.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Okay, so let's get to it. Let's get to any other comments, you guys, on the draft before we move on, because I have a question related to our mini draft. But we also got a super chat that I want to get to. Any other comments to close up shop on it?
No, that was fun. That was good stuff.
No, that was fun. I'm glad we'll have lots of mini drafts. I love them. I'm kind of a mini draft person. I love doing a random mini draft about anything. So we'll have some more fun with that coming up on some later shows. By the way, the show is from right now, Monday and Thursday. We'll do 4:15 to around 5:30 Monday and Thursday. The hope is that, you know, maybe we'll start doing more shows if we have more fun. Pretty much. That's how it works
absolutely.
Out. All right. So Justin Yarbrough had a super chat. Justin, thank you very much. We really appreciate the super chat there. He wants to know, Rod, what was spring ball like as a player back in your day? Looking forward to the new show. Thank you, Justin. Really kind of you. Very different. We were talking earlier how the spring breaks are very different for the guys now after NIL. Yeah. Now they're traveling to these exotic places, hanging out. They got courtside seats to NBA games. This is hey, man,
Turks and Caicos? What? Exactly. The Padre. Was the Padre not good enough for you anymore?
That's where we went, Coach. We go to Padre. Or, hey, man, we try to go down to Galveston, hang out a little bit. That was about it. I will say, you know, now, I can't relate to the NIL stuff. But when I was, you know, playing on the 40 acres for our spring ball, you know, every year was a little different. You know what I mean? Early on, I'm competing for a job. All of my focus was on competing, getting that job, winning that job. And that's pretty much, you know, I didn't go home my freshman and sophomore years of spring break. I remember my mom complaining. I went home late. Like, I'll go home, like, you know, for the last weekend, like the last 2 days before we have to go back. But I stayed up and worked out. I stayed up and stayed on the grind. Now, if I had more money like these guys, I probably would have went to Turks and Caicos or Miami or something. But I didn't have any money anyway. So what am I going back to Houston? Oh, I'm going to Galveston. I've been to places before, so I stayed there and grinded my freshman and sophomore year. And I remember, going back spring ball, man, for me, like the whole thing was about winning the job. Got to win the job. And I was competing against guys like Nathan Vasher and Quentin Jammer early on when I got there. So that's what my focus was. And then as I got older, my junior and senior year, it was more about my pushing my standard, trying to be the best player I could be, recognizing what my weaknesses were during the season, defending the deep ball, getting out of my breaks a little bit quicker, tackling, whatever it is that I analyzed myself and said, hey, man, I got to get better at these things. Coach Aquino would help me, trust me, by the way. He had a list of stuff, a checklist for you about things you need to get better at, and that's what spring was about. Hey, I got to improve in these areas to be the best player I could be. So it went from the competition element, which, because I'd already won the job, but then to keep that job, I had to be the best player I could be and keep pushing the standard. And that's what spring became about. Those little details of, hey, how can I get better? What's the next step for me? What's the weakness that I need to work on? And once I figured, you know, that I was never a perfect player. So there was always stuff to work on to get better. And it's going to be. Yeah.
That's a great point. That's a great point, Rod. And I've seen a lot of guys who succeed like you did because you've got a chip on your shoulder. You knew there was a battle. Even though you won that position eventually, there's still people, when you're recruiting the DBs we were recruiting that time, at the level of recruitment, we were DBU, you know?
Yes, sir.
And so you had to have that chip on your shoulder to stay and grind instead of going, I'm a starter. I'm going to go down and party for a while. You know, the guys that stay focused and can keep things compartmentalized in their mind and keep that chip on their shoulder, because you've never got it made in this game. I don't care what level you're at. You never have it made in this game. Yep. And the guys that succeed are the ones that keep that chip on the shoulder and keep grinding and keep grinding and keep grinding. There's nothing wrong with going out for spring break. I mean, there's nothing wrong about that. But everybody in that locker room knows the ones that are grinding and the ones that are easing up. And I just don't see that in our culture anymore. No, like I've seen in the past years, the entitlement just from being at the university, okay, just from being there,
yep,
somehow gives you a sense of entitlement. Rod, you know that. You saw it in the locker room every year, year after year, guys that go, man, if I just had that body, that size, that speed, that whatever with my heart, where would I be? And it's the guys that can put it all together that have a huge heart. You know, you can give the guys the best equipment. You can give them the best coaching, the best facilities, but you can't give them heart. You know, and it's the guys like you that focused on being the best player that they could be are the ones that wind up helping us, be the program that we are.
No, thanks to this, Coach, but you're right about that stacking that room, right? That, you know, when you're competing against Nathan Vasher and Quinn Jammer, they're bringing in a young Huff Daddy and a young Cedric Griffin. It keeps you motivated to keep that spot. And that's, I think, the competition level for Sark. He's stockpiling that kind of talent in these rooms. But also now you also have like talent on the offensive side of the ball, in the opposing DB room and the opposing wide receiver room. So now you get to go against elite NFL caliber guys every day in practice. And that's when, and I think Sark's getting there now, already there, that's when the program really will go to an elite level, when your practices are just as hard, if not harder, than the games, because you're competing every day against NFL players. And I think that's where they're getting this roster. I think it's not there yet, because Georgia has been doing it forever, and Michigan took Jim Harbaugh a while to do it. But Sark in his third year, I think he's on an accelerated path to doing it.
And you know what's going to help kind of get that team motivated again is having a little poster in that wall in your locker room saying, you know what, you came up one play short. You had four opportunities to play for a national championship, and you were one play 12 yards short that could have completely changed the landscape of college football. Almost in a way, it's weird to say, Rob, because I know that you experienced this back in 2001, 2002. We talked about it the other day. You come up that short in a season in which you thought you had a pretty special team going and you didn't quite conquer the mountaintop, as we've talked about. That's the greatest motivator that you can have, is saying you got a little taste of success, but it wasn't ultimately what you were striving to achieve in a given season. Now it's time to go do that. And with a third year Quinn Ewers, who stayed at this university because he loved it, let's see what kind of passion, fire, and intensity he brings to spring football day one tomorrow morning.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because it is Quinn's team pretty much. All right, another super chat here. And thank you, Edmund Lee. Thank you very much for the super chat. We appreciate that. But it's a community. It's a family. So thank you guys for joining us. Also, is it Jaron DeWald? I appreciate that. Hope I didn't mispronounce the name. If I did, I apologize for that. First off, love this new show and hope it stays. Rod B, does our secondary this year need to focus on physicality with SEC receivers or that SEC speed? I've said this before. Thank you for the super chat. I think the secondary should be a strength this year. It hasn't been a strength since Sark has been here, but now you have veterans all across the board, right? Derek Williams, I guess, is the youngest guy in that secondary, and he played last year critical reps for you and snaps for you. But Jadae Barron came back as a guy that could have been drafted, came back to school. Now Malik Muhammad, he's a guy that started a couple of games for you last year, was playing playing in critical moments late down the stretch last season. Terrence Brooks is a veteran now for you. McCuber is a senior, kind of a veteran presence for you there as well at safety. They don't really have an excuse this season for the secondary not to be a strength. So I expect it to be a strength. I really do. And I don't really know, exactly who else is going to step up. I think your frontline guys, though, because I know they like to rotate. I think Taft is still going to be a pretty consistent player for you. Taft brings, I think, a lot of stability to the secondary. So he's going to play a lot in that secondary in terms of rotating with the safeties. Corner Gavin, you know, Gavin Holmes is going to rotate at the cornerback a little bit too. But, you know, for the most part, your frontline guys, I mean, their guys should be, you know, who contending for all conference selections. And you should have guys that are multiple guys getting drafted from that secondary.
Hey, Rod, I wanted to ask you about your mindset lining up at outside cornerback, because the dialogue with Texas fans for the last couple of years has been, you know, why is our cornerbacks 8 yards off the ball on a second and four? But now it's repressing, and we don't necessarily see a reroute at the line of scrimmage. And now there's, you know, against Washington, we saw those big plays down the field where it felt like there was good coverage, but, you know, you let a guy get behind you and that man coverage, especially against a Roma Dunze or any of those talented wide receivers like Jalen McMillan that Washington possess. I mean, now you're in a spot you don't want to be with a guy running down the field in front of you. Yeah. When you were kind of figuring out what kind of corner you wanted to be and trying to pick the coverages that fit you best, whether it be pressing up at the line of scrimmage or playing off ball, what goes into that kind of practice mindset of, or I guess spring ball eventually, where you're kind of still tinkering things out? Is there, you know, preferences that these cornerbacks have? Do they communicate it with the defensive backs coach? What goes into that? Because it changes what feels like possession to possession at times, where other times you see more success out of a different look.
Yeah, for Texas, it's interesting because I believe Sark said that the coverage pretty much dictates the technique that they're going to play. And at times, I remember Coach Aquino, we had, depending on the coverage, we would have some flexibility in what kind of technique we wanted to play, whether we wanted to play off or whether we wanted to play press, things of nature. So it depends on the trust I think the coach has in the players. I did notice, you know, the last couple of years, Texas has been really susceptible to the inside breaking routes and those short underneath routes. That's why the press coverage takes that away, which, by the way, it did. Texas played more press coverage in their last three games than they had played all season long. Now, those games were against what, Tech, Oklahoma State, and Washington. And what were they susceptible to once they started to play press? They took away the short inside breaking routes, but the deep ball. Oklahoma State hit some deep shots. Washington hit some deep shots. So if you're going to play press, then it's going to be critical for those guys to make sure they're in phase and they're rerouting the wide receivers and that they're staying as close as much as they can to the upfield shoulder and they're in phase. And what you mean by in phase is making sure you're in a good position to play the ball. And those guys, I think against Washington, they were in decent position, but they should be in better position. They need to be in a situation where they can smother the wide receiver and use the sideline to pin the wide receiver. And they don't make the wide receiver uncomfortable to squeeze that space they have between the numbers and between the sideline. So it's all, I think for Texas, they want to play more press. They will play more press. That's the kind of athletes they're bringing in terms of the trust the coaches have with them to allow them freedom to go up and press when they want to, depending on the down and distance, depending on the coverage. That's different for every program and for every, I think, coach pretty much.
Got it. Makes sense.
Yeah. But we played a lot of press. We played when I called Boris, loved press, man. He wanted to blitz a ton. They called him Carl Boris for a reason. He was aggressive as hell. And he's wanted to play press because he believed it's only a matter of time before we get to the quarterback. So that's, I think it all depends on the coach, all depends on the system. And I think the guys are going to play more press this year. And against the SEC receivers, it'll be, a better brand of receiver in the SEC. But Texas has, I think, better caliber athletes now playing in the secondary too.
That certainly helps. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that, for those super chats, guys. We appreciate it. All right. Let's get to another topic here. We just had our mini draft of the best overall players on the roster outside of the quarterback position. What do we believe is the strength of this roster overall? What's the strength of the team? Last year, the defensive tackle position, I mean, you had the best defensive tackle group in the country, potentially. That was no doubt that was a strength of the team, and I think it was kind of the identity overall of the defense. What's the strength of the team this year? What do you think is that position group, unit, or aspect of the team? It could just be something they do really well that they're going to be potentially the best in the country at, or one of the elite teams in the country at. Do they have a group or a position group, a unit, in you guys' opinion, that is that good? CJ, I'll give it to you first.
I think they've got two, and it kind of coincides with one another, but I think that offensive line is going to be in that conversation for the Joe Moore Award at the end of this 2024 season, simply because you return four or five, and we've talked about Cam Williams and the strength that he has in the pass game. He's going to move bodies in the run game. When they figure out what's going on with the pieces at left guard, how do DJ Campbell and Cam Williams kind of mesh together on that right side? I think you could be looking at a pretty special offensive line this year because of the depth, because of the experience, because these guys are just simply older now. You know, you no longer have a number of true freshmen in the bunch here. You know, you're looking across the board. You might not have anybody as an underclassman in this starting offensive line, which is huge when you look at the teams that really put together strong offensive lines. Washington last year did, I mean, every single one of them departed for the NFL. Michigan last year departed everybody for the NFL. Washington won the Joe Moore Award. Two of them moved to Ole Miss. The other three entered the NFL draft. That's having experience at the linebacker or the offensive line spot. It's probably the most valuable spot you can have it aside from quarterback, which Texas has experience now, and a guy who is the quote unquote Heisman front runner with Carson Beck this year. So those two spots to me, I think Texas fans should be over the moon about the situation that they're walking in the spring with. And again, I think with the way that it shapes up against the defense, you're going to hear a lot of running success for guys like Jaden Blue, CJ Baxter, the true freshman, and Trey Wisner.
Yes, Steph. Coach, what are your thoughts?
What do you think my thoughts are? Ryan Wingo? Come on, man. Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. How can that not be the strength of your team?
He's right.
Jonte Cook, Silas Bolden. I mean, the crazy thing is that, you know, some of those guys are new, but I love the athleticism that we bring into the receiver with a returning Heisman frontrunner quarterback, a great offensive line, it looks like. I love what if this receiver group can gel together, which I think Sark has proven that he knows the formula to get groups to gel together.
Yep.
You know, it ain't about you. It's about the team. If we can get those guys to buy in, I'm really high on this receiver group, first of all. Secondly, our running backs. I think we've got a good group of running backs. Of course, you know, I hate to be a homer and always be talking about offense, but I like what we have. We've lost, you know, obviously some great backs over the last couple of years, but we've got some good ones coming back. And I'll leave it at that. But to me, the group that I'm the most excited about is the receiver group, because we've got a group of guys who have proven, maybe not at Memorial Stadium, but I proved it at other places. And when they come in and get in the environment that Sark has created, that culture that he has created, I feel really, really good about that group.
I feel like that's both of you guys. I think that the reason the question is interesting, because Texas has multiple groups, as CJ mentioned, that could be considered a strength and one of the best groups in the country. I almost feel like it should be the passing game next season overall.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Right? Yeah. With the offensive line returning four of the five, you know, coaches went on about the receivers and how deep they are. Coach is a little biased today over his receivers, of course, but no, he's right about it. They're really deep there. And we expect Quinn to take a huge leap in terms of his progression and be considered one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And the guy's going to be drafted in the first round. I almost feel like the passing game this season should be one of the elite passing games in college football. Last season, Quinn still, you can still see there were some growing pains in his development, right? And he made a huge leap from the year one to year two. We expect a similar leap this year and put him in the conversation to be the first quarterback taken overall. The offensive line, there were some pass protection issues every now and then, picking up twists and stunts and, you know, simulated pressures, things of that nature. And I think the only part of the passing game that was functioning at an elite level consistently was probably the Texas receivers. And we see now, looking at the combine, both of those guys potentially are going to be first-round picks. But this season, I think the only thing holding the passing game back is going to be chemistry between Quinn and the receivers. But I think the O-line, the personnel in the receiver room, Quinn Ewers, to me, when that group, the sooner it finds its way, the passing game, or finds its groove, I don't know if there are enough, there are any teams in the SEC other than Georgia, you know, I guess Bama back in the day, but Georgia's in that conversation. Man, maybe Ole Miss, the way they're stockpiling some talent, that would even have enough defenders to defend all the speed that Texas could present on the field at the receiver position.
Rod, I wanted to ask you, because we've talked about the passing game as a strength. You've mentioned that secondary, especially the safeties room, might be the strength of the defensive side of the ball. When it comes to spring football and we start hearing reports of how scrimmages and practice go and it starts leaning one way to the other, we've talked about in the past, you know, spring ball, one side does really well, the other side does poorly. You know, that's kind of how we present it to one another. But when it comes to the strength versus strength side and one side gets the better of the other in practice, I mean, what's that kind of mentality like if one side is dominating more so than the other? Is it the trash talk get louder on one side? I mean, Coach Shipley, we've talked about these wide receivers. If they live up to par, I mean, I can't see a world in which Jonte Cook isn't out there letting every DB on the field know that he's about to run a nice little sluggo and find six. You know, that's kind of just how that goes at those two spots. So I'm interested to hear, you know, if one side's getting the better of it.
It's all about if your coach is an offensive coach or a defensive coach. Because I can tell you right now, Mac was an offensive coach. So anytime the defense would be dogging the offense, I mean, we're just dogging. They can't get a first down. They can't convert a damn thing. We're just whipping them in practice. Mac Brown would slant the practices. He'd do something to give the offense an advantage somehow. They always do that. They'll put us in a bad coverage and let the offense get a nice route, get a nice route downfield, an easy completion. They would always do that. So it depends on the coach. Mac was an offensive coach, so Mac's not going to let the offense have a total bad day. Coach knows this because you don't want your confidence of your offense to be hurting. So, hey, we got to get him in the groove. Let's, you know, put the defense in a compromising position. Offense, go out there and make a play, and they can kind of balance the scales. You'll never let one phase just dominate the other all practice long.
Hey, Rod, what's the one event everybody goes home from a track meet and remembers and talks about? The mile relay.
I've
coached track teams that totally suck till the mile relay. And we're gonna kick butt on the mile relay because that's what everybody goes home and remembers.
Right.
That's right, what I want people to go home and remember.
Yep, and that's what Coach would do. He would end practice on a good offensive play. And we'd be like, what the hell, man? We've been whipping the ball in practice, and they make one play. All right, there we go. We're like, oh, no, Coach, she tried to help out the offense. So that's usually how it works out. But no, there's a lot of trash talk. In spring ball, I'm not worried about us as a team and how we're going to compete next season. I'm worried about my unit. I'm worried about my phase and my side of the ball and myself. So it's a very kind of selfish approach to spring ball. It is us against them. It's us against the offense. We battle. Yeah. We battle. We hold grudges too. There are times where Roy Williams wouldn't talk to me going into the locker room because we were talking so much trash. And that's cool. That's all good. I'm cool with that.
Well, it's like one of our viewers said a while ago, iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
You know, iron sharpens iron.
And exactly right.
You going against Roy Williams every day, that's pretty sharp iron right there.
Ain't no doubt. No, I matter of fact, I made sure that was my priority. I got to go against Roy because I knew that dude's going to get drafted in the top 10 to 15 picks. If I can cover him, I can cover damn near anybody in America. That was the mindset.
That's right.
That's the mindset. Okay, we talked about the strength. Do we think what's the weakest of the position and units for Texas or aspects of Texas? I guess we could just say red zone offense. We don't know how that's going to look, but what do we think where they're going to have? I think the most growth, where they're going to have to do the most growing, I should say, as a team. What's the weakest part of this roster?
Yeah, I think compared to last year, it's very easily going to be the inside of that Texas defensive line simply because of what you lost. You lost, you know, a guy that won the award for being the best interior lineman in the entire country and another first-round pick, plus Trill Carter, who, you know, saw a pretty good snap count in the rotation. That's tough to just sit back and say, you know what, we can replenish that. Could Texas go out and add somebody from the portal? Yes, but until that happens, you have to work with what you got. And right now, that's kind of been, you know, what we've anticipated being the big question mark, I would say. Trace Crutchfield actually has a really good question. Who do you see playing more of Sevilla out of Arizona or Dre Bledsoe? Both are around the same weight at 293. The question or the point I wanted to make there, Sevilla played 300-plus snaps last year. You know, we didn't see Dre Bledsoe for anything more than 80 snaps or so in 2023. So if that's the question mark, I know that he has that that kind of leg up in the system and what PK likes to run. But with a brand new defensive line coach in Kenny Baker, all bets are off. There's no more, you know, you don't have a head up or a leg up on anybody else in this room with a brand new coach in there who's like, I've got to make an impression. I've got to get my squad right. All bets are off the table. So I'll go with the experienced guy until I get any type of word out of practice of what's happening. Just because, again, over 600 snaps in the last 3 years, that's sizable, and you can make a conclusion based off of that. But as a result, I'm still looking at that Texas defensive line as one that I'm like, got to piece that out going into the SEC, or else you're going to need that offense to really start piecing together scoring drives, like Coach Shipley's saying, and just start airing that thing deep, drive in and drive out.
Rob knows my answer from Football Theory on Thursday. my biggest question mark is going to be how the defensive secondary can progress, especially, you know, with the long ball. I don't want to beat a dead horse with the secondary, but offensively, you know, red zone offense. Is it the offensive line? Is it the receiver? Is it the quarterback? Is it the run? Who is it the play caller? You know, what's been our Achilles heel with the red zone offense? Because if I'm thinking about a position group, it's a secondary. If I'm thinking about a situation, obviously it's a red zone offense.
Yep.
I think a lot of that is play calling, and some of that is going to be Quinn maturing. You know, look at the jump that Vince made. Look at the jump that Colt made from 07-08. You know, I mean, we need Quinn to make that jump to be the complete quarterback that we need to win the national championship. He's got to do a better job of leading our offense in the red zone. I'm not putting all the blame on him. You know, he does what the coaches ask him to do, but the players still have to deliver on the field in those critical situations. What do you think, Rod?
No, that's a good point, Coach. I still don't think Sark actually figured out the red zone issues. I don't know if he actually ever solved it all season long. Even in the game versus Washington, Sugar Bowl, red zone offense came back to haunt them. They did have that outlier of a performance in the red zone versus, I think, Oklahoma State. Remember Oklahoma State? They went like some crazy, like 5 of 5 or something, like some 6 of 6. I thought, oh man, maybe Sark has figured out the issues in the red zone. And I don't think he ever did. I think he was throwing multiple possible solutions at the problem to try to figure it out. I don't know if he ever figured out what was the overwhelming factor in their ineptitude, because they were 120th in touchdown percentage in the red zone. And listen, I think Sark was just frustrated by the end of the season, because he never really, even with all of his offensive, you know, IQ and acumen, he couldn't really figure it out. I don't think anybody figured it out, but I do think it was a multifactorial issue and hopefully just an outlier. But it does make you think that if they had that issue with two potential first-round wide receivers, probably a potential second-round tight end, a potential second- or third-round running back, and an offensive lineman who's getting drafted in the middle rounds, and they're all gone, and it's like, well, I don't know if that helps your red zone issues. You know what I mean? So there is an expectation that, they could have the same issues, and if they do, that'll lose them big games like it did this year. I mean, that's why you lost the Oklahoma game. That's why you lost the Washington game. If you're even average in red zone offense, you're probably undefeated, at least, and you play in a national title game. You probably have one loss maybe to Michigan in the national title game. If your red zone offense was like 60th in college football instead of 120th in touchdown percentage in the red zone.
Hey, so, if there's one thing I can add to that, Rod, is we've seen this staff take what was bad the year before and completely nix that. If you go back to 2022, what could this Texas defense not do? And that's get off the field. We watched Texas Tech convert 7 third or 4th downs in a row, essentially to go up and down the field and win that game in Lubbock. What did that Texas defense do this past season? Well, they were only the best third down conversion team in the entire country. So they hear what the issue is. They know what the issue is. And from what we've seen each year, those little issues and kind of nuances that we've seen halter this team, they've been nixed. And so that gives me enough confidence to say, you know what? 2023, whenever they got inside that red area, I think that's going to be an outlier. Now, will it? I don't know. But based off what they've fixed in the past, it gives me the confidence to think that it might. Ultimately, though, it comes down to the two constants that we've seen from a year ago. It's Steve Sarkisian and it's Quinn Ewers. If they can get on the same page and kind of take that next step as well, there's no reason to think this might be an issue again. Because like you said, you're going to have 4 of the 5 offensive linemen from a year ago. They're going to be older, more experienced, better, for lack of better terms. And you're still going to be having at least a group talented enough to compete with just about anybody on the offensive side of the ball, the skill positions, despite losing what you lost a year ago. That, to me, is another reason why I think, you know what? It was an issue last year, and it did cost Texas at times, but I don't think it's not something I'm going to look at right now and say, you know, might as well chalk Texas up for an L or two now, because there's no way they won't get it fixed. I think based off what we've seen, they will.
Yeah. No, he's got an offseason to figure it out. And he's pretty forthcoming about, you know, what he's researching and about what his kind of, you know, the self-scouting that he does with the team. And I'm looking forward when he talked to Sark after spring is over about red zone, that what he actually found may have been the biggest issues. Because I do think it was part quarterback, part O-line. Now, O-line got stuffed a few times in goal line situations. You know, that's the power situations Texas actually wasn't able to convert. That's a lot of that's on the O-line. Where they're throwing in the red zone, the windows are smaller, everything happens a little faster. That's on Quinn getting through progressions quicker. The play call, even Sark has admitted, yeah, there are times where I could have made some better play calls in the red zone too. So I think this coach is right. It's such a multifactorial issue. I don't know if you can just point out one thing. And maybe that's what Sark's going to be working on in the offseason. All right, good stuff there. I think weakness also, if we're looking at it, I don't know if it's a straight-up weakness, but I'm worried about tight end. I'll admit that. I'm a little concerned about tight end. I think Gunnar Helms, he's got a lot of potential. We haven't seen him, and I wonder how they're going to funnel the usage through tight end or if they're going to decrease 12 personnel, you know, period, and just run more 11 or run some of that 10 personnel, 1 back, 0 tight ends, or run more of the pony package with 2 back sets. So I'm just a little concerned about it, but I don't necessarily think it's a weakness depending on what Gunnar Helm does. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we got some questions that we'll get to. Hit us up, guys, super chats. We'll get to some of those. Someone here says, and this is for Coach, AJJ_sports says, Coach, I've asked almost everyone on the team here, but what are you going to be looking for at the spring game? Like, what's your what's the top of mind for you, Coach, when you step out there and watch this team in the spring game?
I'm looking for Quinn to be at another level. I'm looking for him, for us to see some type of evidence that he's ready to take the next step. As I mentioned, the step that we know Vince took, the step that we know Colt took, and Quinn has progressed very nicely. But for him to be the quarterback that we need him to be, that he wants to be, that we have to have him to be, he's got to make a noticeable step. And I think you made a good point, Rod. In the red zone, you don't have those big windows. The windows squeeze. I mean, you have to put the ball on the money every time. And you've got to be better with your fakes on play action. You got to be better with your RPOs. You know, I'm looking for Quinn to make the step that we need to see him make to know that he's going to be at an elite level. I'm looking for this offense, as CJ was saying, to gel. You know, our receivers and just the whole offense to gel together. And I do think that Sark has the ingredients. He has the recipe for the culture that we've seen the past year. We've seen it been building, And this past year, it started showing us what we wanted to see. And so I think that, you know, positive peer pressure in that locker room is a good thing now, as opposed to 3 or 4 years ago when that locker room was in turmoil, you know. And now it's a locker room that is really healthy, I think. And, you know, the offense to pull together, the receivers to gel like we hope that they will, that secondary come together. But those are my thoughts on spring ball.
All right. Thank you for that, Coach. And thank you guys for the questions. Keep them coming. We still got about 15 more minutes here on the winning drive. I want to ask you guys about position battles. Specifically, there aren't that many position battles on the fort, which is a good thing. I think I think there's going to be battles for playing time and target share and, you know, distribution of snaps and reps, because they do like to rotate a lot of guys. They want to play a lot of guys. But you got left guard, which is a true old school competition, all right, between guys trying to win that spot. You got the linebacker position opposite Anthony Hill. Is there a competition at punter? Do we have a competition at punter, or is it just Kern coming in is going to be the punter? We don't have that. Am I missing any here, CJ? But just a straight up open spot where guys are competing for it. It's not like two or three of those, right?
Yeah, there aren't many. You could argue the secondary, you know, who's going to be that guy next to Derek Williams? Is it going to instantly be Andrew Mukuba? Is Michael Taft going to make it interesting? What about Jelani McDonald, Xavier Filsen-Meade? That's kind of a spot where it's more rotationally going to occur. The same could be said about the cornerbacks. You know, you have two right now that you have a lot of confidence in. You have a third that saw a lot of snaps in Galvin Holmes. Who's next? Is it going to be a Warren Roberson that's taking that extra step? Is it Jalen Gilbo, who saw snaps outside? Maybe Jahdae Barron as well. But what about the freshmen? Are they able to get into that two or three deep early on and make some noise in spring football? But I think you mentioned it. The one to me that really stands out is linebacker. And I think it's simply because what you're losing in Jalen Ford and just how instinctive he was in the middle of the field. He won several games for Texas with a game-clinching interception at times. He was that guy, especially in 2022, where if Texas needed big play or a stop defensively to seal the deal, it was him. It was number 41 right there, sealing the game for the Texas Longhorns. So if Texas can find that same kind of consistency or impact alongside Anthony Hill to allow him to play freely and without restrictions in the middle of the field, now you're looking at a completely different Texas defense. But is it going to be a guy like David Benda? Can he kind of prove to be a guy you can drop back into coverage at times? Kendrick Blackshear, do we know if he's going to have an expanded role so far? What about Darren Gillette and Leonga Lafau? Those are two really intriguing prospects that have a hell of a lot of athleticism to go with a very smart football mind as well. Will they crack that too deep as well? So a lot going on, but that's a spot for me that I'm really looking at saying this spring we better come away knowing what's going to happen, especially since they don't have the two big boys up front clogging running lanes for them.
That's a big one.
I think there's three guys for me that have a battle on their hands for playing time that were basically starters last year. David Benda, Taft, Michael, and Gunnar Helms. Those three guys are guys that were serviceable last year, but are they going to be able to make the cut going into the 24 season, and instead of kind of picking out a position, I'm just kind of picking out those three guys and know that those three guys have come through at times for us, but were they, you know, here's the thing we should talk about in recruiting meetings. We're talking about recruits and the question would be asked, Coach Shipley, can we win a national championship with this guy? Can we win a national championship if this guy's starting on our team? And that's the kind of questions that we're to the point now that we have to be asking. Can we win a national championship with Michael Taft starting at safety? I don't know. If Gunnar Helms is our starting tight end, you know, I don't know that for sure. If David Benda is our starting linebacker, can we win a national championship? That's the bar. That's where the bar has been set very plainly, very clearly. We're that close. So you've got to look, can we win a national, go position by position, can we win a national championship with that guy? Or is he just serviceable?
It's a great point.
Those are three guys that I have a question about. And yeah. I know there's more.
Yeah. No, it is. I think you're right about that, Coach. That's, I think, the challenge for Sark, right, to go through at almost every position and see how can I upgrade the roster. I think he's done that by any means. The transfer portal, you can look at the way you approach the receiver position. He's got guys who have a lot of talent, a lot of upside at receiver, but he wanted proven commodities. He said, no, I want guys who've actually been there and done it. Hope is not a strategy, and we're not going to rely on hope here. So I think he is in the process of doing that, but I love the way you put that, Coach. Go through every position. Can we win a national championship with this guy? And if you take too long to answer, that means the answer is probably no. It's like, is she hot? And your friend goes, well, it's like, well, she's not hot. Exactly. Yeah.
You got to think about it. The answer is probably A, not what you want to hear at the time.
Exactly. Yeah. It should be pretty quick. Can you win a title with him? Oh, yeah, you can win a title with that guy. And if it's not a quick answer, that means we might need to go back to the drawing board and upgrade. I love the way you put that. But I do think there are a lot of positions that are being, because they do want to rotate, that are battling for target share, snap distribution. I think, hell, even at their running back, I'm interested to see like what they're going to divide up between a Cedric Baxter and a Jaden Blue. The wide receiver target share is going to be really interesting. Is it going to be Jontae Cook or Isaiah Bond that's going to be the number one guy? And then after that, you know, who else? Is it Silas Bolden or is it Matthew Golden? What does Ryan Wingo do? We see him accelerated prodigy in terms of his development. It's going to be really interesting. So I really can't wait to see which one of these players start to elevate and separate from the pack in terms of the, like I said, target share, snaps, and distribution of different reps. Okay, so that we'll get back to obviously some more spring football conversation. I want to ask you really quick, you guys, because we got a pro day coming up too. There's a lot of buzz about the Texas pro day as well. There should be. And we know that Texas, you can argue they won the combine, had a lot of guys showcase very well at the combine, including Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, Byron Murphy. You're talking about guys who were the talk of the town there at Indy. Pro day coming up for Texas this week as well. CJ, I know that you've been kind of following which one of the Texas players will probably have the most to gain at the pro day. So that's kind of what I want to ask you guys. You know, what we know, some players won't even work out again at the pro day. They're just going to shake hands, maybe do some drills and run some routes, stuff like that. But I don't expect Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell to really do anything other than, like I said, maybe run some routes, maybe do a couple of drills for scouts if they ask them to, but they may decide, no, we're skipping all that. I'll start with you, CJ. Who has the most to gain at the Texas Pro Day this week?
Yeah, well, we know that the time for the Pro Day is going to be 12:45. That was originally a question mark. We actually just got the email from the Texas Athletics Department. 12:45 is when the Pro Day will kick off. It will be aired on LHN later that night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So you get to watch some of the highlights a little bit after. We'll obviously have the updates here on Texas football right after as well. So the guy that has the most to gain to me is Jordan Whittington. And it's simply because we just haven't seen him since that bowl game against Washington. He's been kind of lingering around with a little hamstring issue, didn't compete in the Reese's Senior Bowl, didn't do anything other than bench in the combine. He's a guy right now that's on that fence. You don't expect him to be drafted at the moment, but he is a guy that, based off what we know about him, his character, his desire, his heart, all of those things behind the scenes, we know that he would make an NFL team, but NFL teams and GMs, they don't trust their job to chance. And, yep. You know, will this guy pan out? We need to know the measurables, the height, the weight, the speed, the agility, everything that can go into it and basically justify a reason for a draft selection. And right now there's just not enough to back that up for Jordan Whittington, despite what we all know about it behind the scenes. But In a situation like this, with all these executives, all these coaches, all these scouts, who a lot of will be coming in to see Quinn Ewers throw on Wednesday, Jordan Whittington to me is a guy who can really, really help himself if he puts together good testing times and good route running in those drills. Because, again, we know about it, but the rest of the world doesn't. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
All right, Coach, what are your thoughts? Which one of these guys has the most to gain at Pro Day coming up this week?
Well, CJ stole my thunder.
I went wide receiver.
I mean, if you watch the guy play in the state championship game his senior year, okay, and you see the heart that guy has, because if they need to play, if they had third and long, he went to wide receiver. If they needed a run, he went to quarterback, you know, in the Wildcat. They tossing the ball. I mean, you know, the guy is just one of the best teammates I've ever witnessed, been around, or seen. What he does for that locker room, and those are the things that a coach, if an NFL GM will take a chance on him, those are the things that they're going to see benefit from him in the locker room, and just the way he goes about his business and the way. But you know, I know this about the NFL. There's no sentimental feelings in the NFL. There's none of that. We look at what he did for our program. We look at what he did in our locker room. We look at the way he elevated the play of everybody around him. And he will, and the way he just finished up his senior year and just his attitude and his thankfulness and gratefulness and all those things, he will forever be loved as a lifetime Longhorn. Forever. Yeah. Because he's that kind of guy. And so sentimentally, I don't know if anybody didn't want to see him do good, you know, and go to the next level and prove himself, because he certainly endeared himself for the rest of his life to the Longhorn fan base. So I'm pulling for him, and I think he probably has the most to gain.
Yep, I like that. And that's great. I'll throw out another question here, and I'll give you mine. It's a little bit different, but I'll give you mine. But I'll throw this out there. Who's going to be the culture bearer for this team? You know, Roschon Johnson and Jordan Whittington seem to be the two players who embodied the culture. They walked it every day. You know how it is, Coach. Those guys who they challenge their teammates just through the example they set every day. You see them getting there early. You see them putting in the extra work. You see them staying after practice. You see them watching extra film. And then you question yourself, like, am I putting in enough work? I don't know. I might need to put in some extra work here.
And neither one of those guys were the star at their position.
Exactly, right? Exactly. But the respect, they had the respect of everybody on that team, on the leadership council. And we heard about, you know, their, you know, different examples of them being great leaders on the team. And you talked about how, you know, he's an unselfish teammate. As a great quote from Brendan Marin, who says, you know, what you do without the football shows how much you love your teammates. That's why I always say offensive linemen really love their teammates, because they never see the football, but they're working their butt off. Right? You know what I mean? And it's a great quote. And I think it gets it probably from the Bible, but it's still a really good quote, because it does. And Jay Witt with that play against TCU, the football's not there. He ain't got it. No, he still goes down there and just makes a hell of a play. All at work ethic, all, you know, football character. So I think he embodied it. Who's going to do that with this team? Who's going to embody the culture? And it doesn't have to be a starter. As you just pointed out, Coach, it can just be a guy who the team, everybody respects. It was Rojo. It was Jay Witt. Who is it this time? Who is it on this team? Do we know yet? Do we not? We don't know yet. We got to go through spring.
There's names. We don't know yet, but my money defensively is probably Michael Taft.
He may not
be the guy, but the guy loves the University of Texas and always has.
That's good, Coach.
And has nothing but great things to say about his teammates and the program. You know, whether he's on the field or not, he's one of the most valuable players on our team.
Yep. That's good, Coach. And he recruited
all those Westlake boys to get right. Tony Salazar, Coach Salazar over there. He is one of, if not the best in the state at making sure that his guys are for the team and only for the team. That's a great one. I like Baron Sorrell and Anthony Hill up in the front seven. Mm-hmm. Your offensive line, Jake Majors, Kelvin Banks, you pick either of them, they're going to be in that mix too. But no one would benefit this team more than Quinny. We're sitting up there saying everything that y'all have heard, you know, over the last couple of years about these other guys, that's now going to be me. If you see him take, and this is going to sound outlandish, but if he kind of embodies what Tebow was at Florida by saying, I'm going to be that guy for this team, the ceiling for this team could be outrageously high. So we'll see. Cause I think I know who that guy's going to be in 2025 next year.
There's no doubt about that.
That's a good point. Cause you know, when Texas had those guys, who have embodied the culture. They've been the culture bearers, your VYs, your Colts. Texas had his best. Hell, even I'll say Big Bam's Bam Bam Sam. Yeah. Sam Ehlinger embodied that culture a little bit and took Texas to unprecedented heights when they in 2018. That you're right about that, CJ. Great point there. Let me just throw this out there because I know we're getting close to the end of this thing. I want to thank everybody out there for their participation, chats, and super chats. You guys have been awesome. Remember, we're doing this Monday and Thursday. I think the player with the most to gain at the pro day is Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Right, he's gonna give the scouts a little sneak preview of that golden arm, and he's also got a chance to show scouts. I always had a great coach. He was talking about being a DB, but he'd say body language doesn't whisper, son. It yells, it screams at you. And body language of a quarterback walking out there with his teammates, the way they interact with one another, that's what the scouts are going to be watching. This guy's going to be the alpha male of alpha males. He's going to be the face of my franchise. I'm going to draft him number one overall, first quarterback taken. There's a presence to these men. Right, we've been around these types, so there's a presence to him. He's got to show that presence. He's gonna look great throwing in shorts. Ain't no doubt about that. He's gonna look amazing. But I'm with you, CJ. Show off that it quality that you got. You got it, son. You got it. Show it off to those scouts. They want to see it. And I think and that's kind of the first impression of the scouts that are gonna see him in person, like right up close and personal, and get a chance to talk to the young man, get a chance to see him interact with teammates. Big day for Quinn. Big day for Quinn.
Okay, I got a question for you, Rod and CJ. Have y'all heard of any other underclassmen that are going to participate?
Tomorrow, I have not. Quinn's that one for me going to be throwing. I've not heard of anybody else. Isaiah Bond might, but I don't think he will.
Okay. You know what I'm interested in? Remember the old school guys used to come back who were still trying to get a shot in the league? They'd come back and work out sometimes too. Is that still a thing? Can they do that? I'm not going to do it. Don't just say it. Is it a thing?
Hey, Earl Thomas did it a few years ago. And for the first time getting to see Earl walk like in person at Texas, I was a little starstruck at the point. Because, I mean, that was a kid. I mean, when I was 12, 13, 14, E.T. was that guy. So
he was. Yeah.
I was – Whoa, that's Earl Thomas over there. Hey,
I don't give a damn if Earl is done and he's kind of washed up, whatever. Dude, you're still a GOAT. I mean, that guy's going to – I think he's got a case for the Hall of Fame, like a damn good case for the Hall of Fame. When Earl Thomas told me, and I'm going to brag about it because Earl said it, so I can hold him to it. When he said that Coach Kenny used to show him film and clips of me and that I had the sweetest feet he ever seen, I got an audio clip of it saved on my phone. That's how I was like, hey, just so you know, Earl, I'm going to be playing it for people. Don't be forgetting it, but that you said I had the sweetest feet you ever seen. So I'm a big Earl Thomas fan, man. I hope Earl's doing really well, too.
I do remember David Ash coming back. When David asked the sideline with his concussions, he came back a couple of years later and threw to the guys too. So
you never know. That. That's a good point. I remember that. And my thing about straight Ash homie, because I love me some David Ash, I just remember that when he was the starting quarterback at Texas, Beyonce took a photo in a bikini.
With his
jersey on. Yeah. And I always wanted to ask a coach, do you have that blown up in your house somewhere, like with a picture of you in the jersey near Beyonce stepping into the pool?
That's almost better than any on-field success that you could have had.
There could not have been a better guy for her to wear that jersey who was the most unassuming guy of what that meant when Beyonce is wearing your jersey. Bless God. I love David, but I'm going to tell you, when he came to UT – He was very innocent.
Yes. I was looking for what.
He didn't even have a TV at his house when he was growing up. I mean, you know, and that was one of my all-time favorite pictures I ever saw.
I would love to hear the stories about David Ash. I know the team was trying to – I know once they found out kind of discreet he was and how low key he was. They know they were trying to get him out of his shell. I bet they got some great David Ash stories about starting quarterback at Texas. You're a celebrity and you can't avoid it. Like, and I'm sure that he was trying to avoid it at all costs. It's like, no, man, Beyonce's wearing your jersey, bro. You big time. You got to accept it.
And he probably said, well, what's her last name? Who is this Beyonce you speak of?
That's true.
I love David. I love me some David Ash, man. He's the kind of guy you want to marry your daughter one day. I promise you that.
I've heard nothing but good things about. I call him Straight Ash Homie, man. He's family, baby. He's family. Just like all you guys are family out there in our own Texas football community. All right, we're done with the first episode of
Ron,
the
Wayne Drive. I got two quick things, real quick.
Go ahead. Throw it out there.
While we were recording, Texas actually extended an offer to 2026 defensive edge Luke Waffley out of the Hun School of Princeton in Middletown, New Jersey. That was Kyle Flood going back up there. PK as well, getting in the mix. Really talented prospect, again, was offered by Notre Dame yesterday. Actually visited Penn State over the past weekend. So big-time prospect out of the Northeast. Kyle Flood going back up to where he has some of those ties. We talked about assistant coaches kind of having their niche territories on the staff. That's where Texas is going right now in the 2026 class. We'll see if he's able to get back on campus sometime this spring as well. Also, be sure to join our March Madness tournament bracket. We'll be promoting that throughout the next week or so before games tip off Thursday, 11 a.m. We got the group already 100 people joined up. So thank you guys for joining. Nice. I'll be trash talking all week if my bracket's up at the top. If my bracket's down at the bottom, y'all won't ever hear again about me in this this situation. All right. So make sure to join this. We'll have a lot of fun with this one. Get some chatter going on TexasFootball.com. All right, Rob. There you go.
Now, good stuff there. Thank you, CJ, for taking care of that. Yeah, sign up for the bracket. I'm going to do it, too. I'm going to jump on there. I only fill out one bracket. I don't do the 13 bracket. Yeah, I'm a one-bracket guy. I live or die with that woman. That's how I go. I'm a one-woman man, and I'm a one-bracket man. That's where we go. All right. Hey, thank you guys for joining us. Thanks to Coach Shipley. Thanks, my man, CJ Vogel. Thanks to you guys for listening. Thanks, my man, Matthew, behind the scenes. Wouldn't happen without him. We will be back on Thursday, same time, same channel, 4:15, right here on Texas Football. Join us. It'll be a good time, as it always is. We're going to make sure we have a good time so y'all can have a good time watching. But until next time, until next Thursday, for my man, CJ Vogel, for Coach Bob Shipley, hook him.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.